I'd like to invite everyone tonight to enlist in the Army of the Lord. It's an all-volunteer army, no draft. And if you're here tonight and you like to fight, and I know there's people here likes to fight. And if you like to fight, there'll be plenty fighting for you. And it takes a lot of courage. This is not for wimps. It's going to take a lot of courage. And it's as exciting as you can stand. You want to really get into it and put your heart into it. It'll be all that you can need. It'll take your attention. Don't worry about getting bored. There'll be plenty to do. And it's got all that in it, but there's also a guaranteed victory. You won't lose. You stay close to the captain, this is a guaranteed win. So it's got every element in it that you should want. And the Lord needs and is calling tonight for some soldiers. And this fight isn't a fist fight. It isn't naturally, it isn't carnally. But it's a fight. And you can play a part in it and make a great difference in the battle. You know that we need some prayer warriors. Frontline soldiers tonight. That's going to get right in the front line of the battles that's going on. We have plenty in our nation. If you don't want to do anything other than pray for the things that's going on in our world today, you can stay busy. Along with your own needs, the needs of the congregations, the things that we're pressed with, the sicknesses that we have, the diseases we have. And if you run out of there, you call me and I can give you a whole list just to pertain to me. There's plenty to do. If you want to enlist in this, there's plenty to do, and the Lord needs it. And there is all kind of things besides that. There's things to put your hands on. There's things to help with. There's encouragement that needs to be done. There's people that needs to be contacted. We need you tonight. And the Lord wants you. No drafts, no pressure. Volunteer all the way. This is what this is. Total volunteer army. So Lord, help us. I want to talk about the war. There's a war going on. The war's already started, but sometimes I get this idea, this vision, this thought in my mind that we haven't seen anything yet. I sometimes have in my mind the idea of a distant battle. A battle that hasn't quite got to us yet. But I can hear the thunder of the cannons. I can see the flashes of the lights. And it's coming quickly to us in our time. I think every one of us here tonight that's aware, astute enough, can say that the life is changing. The world is changing. The elements around is changing before us. We see the great onslaught of the enemy. We see the powers that are around about us. There is a war that is already going on, but it's going to increase, I believe, in intensity. And how are we going to face, it's a burden of my heart. How are we as the people of God going to face what's coming? How are we going to face the tomorrow? I know we're not to take a worrisome thought about it. But I think it's wisdom, and it's a God calling to us to say He's given us prophecy that has to do with it. So I know He wants us to consider. I want us to be successful. I don't want to drop the ball of the Lord in my generation. We don't want to come up short, but we want to face this life, this world. We want to face it now and be able to be victorious in our generation. But how are we going to do it? It's so much different than the generation before us. And the generation before that. Many of them stood here and preached the gospel, and the gospel's still the answer. but preach the gospel, could hardly have imagined where we would be at now. Some did have some mind of it, but it was quite an idea. And now we face all of these things that's coming on our world. How are we going to do it? Well, I'll be honest with you. In my human thinking, I could get pretty rattled about it. But you know, I'm not fearful in God. I know the Lord knows exactly what we should do and how we should do it. You know, He told us to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. That still carries on. But I have to say a lot to the Lord. Lord, help me to be wise as serpents. Help me to maintain in my wisdom and zeal the attitude of a dove. Help me to be kind as we go through, but powerful. But wise enough to deal with it. I run out thinking about it, but I know the Lord is able to help us. So look with me, if you will, in a scripture in the 18th Psalm. One verse, the 34th verse, he says, He teaches my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken in mine arms. He teacheth my hands to war. David, the great warrior, was able to understand wars and battles and all that, but yet he said totally the credit of that, the Lord teaches my hands, that I might have victories against these. This is how you gain the victories. To one battle, this is how you face it. To another, this is to a giant, it is a sling in faith. Lord, help us to have faith as we go on into this time, to be able to do this. Lord, help us to know how to war. Teach our hands how to war. 2016 and the days that are ahead of us. Lord, teach us how to deal with a technological world. Lord, teach us how to touch souls at this time. Teach us to know how to do what we need to do to keep ourselves pure and holy, but yet at the same time be able to embrace the world, touch the world, but not get spotted by it. How are we going to do it? Lord, teach our hands to war. Now, in World War II, December 7th, 1941, is a very important date to the America, because that was the introduction into World War II. Now, it started a couple years before in Europe and several years before in Asia, but that's when the United States come into the war. The United States was not prepared in any way for a war. They had come out of World War I. Nobody wanted to get involved into European matters or into Asian matters. And the whole country, 98% of the country said, we want left alone. They don't bother us. We don't bother. Let's stay out of it altogether. And that was the opinion of the American people. There's 3,000 miles of ocean on one side of us. There's 6,000 on the other. And there's we'll be isolated about ourselves. But December 7th, 1941 changed that. And war come to the United States. A place that was totally, totally unprepared for war. But one of the greatest assets, they say, of World War II era was the men that had all their adult lives. There was Eisenhower, there was Bradley, there was Patton, there was Marshall, there was MacArthur. These men understood war. They had went to West Point or Annapolis. These men of great understanding, they had went through World War I. They had prepared. They had thought about mechanized war. They had thought about how to do it, wage war. They thought about the battles. They thought about how to do it. And one of the greatest assets was that it fell right in the generation of one of the most complete parts of men that understood war. They got it, though, not by the moment that the war started. They didn't just wait to, well, we better get some people to understand war because we might be in one. No, these men had dedicated and devoted their lives to the idea of war. And how do you fight war? And how do you battle? And how do you come up with victories? And more than that, Eisenhower expressed, he was like a lieutenant colonel or something when the war started. But he was a man of great ability to be able to maneuver men. He was a great administrator, and he had the ability to be able to use men. There's a lot more to war, folks, than just shooting a shot. You had to have things ordered, and you had to things to have right things, and you had to know how to marshal troops, and you had to know how to train troops. You had to know how to do that. Lord, teach us. Teach us how to war. Teach us how to organize. Teach us how to make a difference in our communities. Teach us how to pray. Teach us how to make a difference in it. Teach us where to stand and how strongly do we stand there. Teach us to stand up against the devil, but teach us to reach out to the souls. Help us to know how in 2016 we have a great ability to touch people through the internet, but it's so filthy and wrong on one side. Lord, teach us to be able to put the restraint. Teach us how to operate it on this way. Lord, help us. Teach us to know how. It isn't going to start when the shells are busting over our heads. We need to start right now. Right now. There's a time coming. We need to start right now understanding how to war. How do we do this? How do we get the victories in the spiritual world? Do we really realize and understand that we have a powerful, powerful weapon in prayer? Do we really understand how much difference it will make? Maybe we slide over it. Maybe we don't understand it, but it's the reason we need the Lord to teach our hands how to do it. How are we going to accomplish it? How are we going to get there? The writer here says, he taught my hands how to war. And he, listen to this, and he says, so that a bow of steel is broken in my arms. That's an incredible idea. But listen to this. It's an acknowledgement of the divine in the human. But nobody can break a bow of steel. Now, the idea of steel here was actually probably, they say it was probably brass. Steel wasn't actually in that day, but brass was. It's talking about a metal bow. And it was usually started out with wood, used wood bows. But there's an idea here. And this is in some of the ancient things, and there's some that assumed that probably was talking about this, but there's some ancient drawings and stuff that showed that this was actually factual. They would make these bows really super strong that an arm couldn't pull them back. They were foot bows. And the men would lay back on their backs and put both feet on the bow, and then they'd use both hands, and they'd knock an arrow, and they'd pull that thing back, and it would forevermore fling an arrow. It would throw it a long, long distances. And they would have, sometimes these armies would have 10,000 archers, foot archers. Now, if you can imagine the scene, there's not 500 people here probably, but if you can imagine 500 of us out here and 10,000 men volley one volley at us, that's 20 arrows per person. They're probably going to get us. And they said at the time of this, those that witnessed this, they'd be going along and all of a sudden the sky would darken. It would be like a cloud was coming over. And it would be 10,000 arrows coming at them. And they didn't even see the enemy yet. And then after that hit, it only takes a few seconds to knock another one. And here comes another 10,000 arrows. And 10,000, it was a terrific force. But the writer here, David saying here, he taught my hands the war. That so much so that we conquered them and broke their bows until they couldn't do that anymore. That fear, that awesome power that they had. The devil is rushing hard at us, folks. The devil's bringing an onslaught on us. And sometimes I feel like that here it comes. Here's the arrows. Lord, help us. What do I do with this? How are we going to face such a amount of force against us? Lord, help us. Teach us, Lord. How do I keep from being chewed up in this time? Maybe you don't think about it, but I think about it. I think about, Lord, help me to know how I'm going to endure such an age as this. Help me to be faithful in this time. It's better to lose my life than my faith. It's better to lose my life than my faith. I can't afford, my life's only for here, but my faith is going to carry me on forever if I lose my faith in God. And that's what the devil's after that. Lord, help us here tonight, because we need to know how to war at this time. How are we going to be able to reach out a loving hand to our fellow man when the dogs are chewing at our legs, when the enemy's all the way around us? I'm going to tell you, so often we get distracted and we lose the focus of what it's all about. And we get off on something, and we are fighting something, and we're doing something that has nothing to do with it at all. So often we get so sidetracked, like this is meaningful, or this matters about something, when it doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter in the whole scope of things. And so often we get sidetracked by these little issues. Sometimes I think, Lord, help us to be busy in the work of the Lord so that we ain't busy in ourselves and one another's business. That we're busy in ourselves and one another's business and taking care of and trying to do that instead of busying ourselves in the Lord. Lord, help us. Teach us to know how to fight in this present day that we might be able to be a blessing to the cause of God. God's cause is greater than our cause. How do we know how to fight at this present time? We face so many things that's coming on. Lord, help us to know how not to be legalistic in our day. But how could we possibly let down on the standards of holiness in such an evil time? It'll kill us if we do. But can I so rigidly hold to it that I'm legalistic about it? And no, Lord, teach me. Teach me how to stand. Teach me how to hold your truth and not be self-righteous about it to others. You understand what I'm saying? So often we can't do it. I'm not condemning. I'm saying what humanity does. It's a natural thing to do. It's very natural for a holiness people. Understand me here. It's very natural for a holiness people to be hypocrites. Now follow me what I'm saying. People that don't have standards can't be hypocrites because they don't care. They can just be anything. But people that have convictions, when they start losing the power of God out of their life, you cannot be righteous. And so you hold your outward convictions and you become a hypocrite because it's not what you are. It's very common to holiness people. Lord, teach us. Teach my hands to war. Teach me how to balance all this out that I might be able to present the right picture. I love the stories of the scriptures because Daniel was a man that knew how to war. He knew how to war, and what an example he was. He never fought. He never seemed to be. He had an excellent spirit in him. And no matter what come his way, he was a righteous man. But yet he didn't come off that he was. He was a righteous man. And look at the way he fought his battles. Oh, King, live forever. Honor to the king. He seemed like he was such a battler. And when it come down, and now, what do I do? What do I do? There's a decree against me. I may give my life. It's better to give my life than my faith. It's better to lose my life than lose out my relationship with God. And so now Daniel's in this place and there's a war raging. The battle hit him. And now this is life and death. And it's going to come to life and death for every one of us in here. And when it come down to life and death for Daniel, you know what Daniel did? He chose to have faith in God. He chose that God could deliver him out of this thing. God's in it. God can do it. And he performed. He warred. He warred. And the war was by the hand of God. God taught him how to war. What do I do, Lord? What do I do? They're pressing me hard. They're pressing me hard. Is it okay, Lord, if I don't go and pray this time? Maybe I can pray silently. Maybe I can do that. And the Lord said, I want glory to my name. I want glory to my name. I want you to glorify me. Do it like you've done it before. And he went and he done it like he done it before. He did. God can take care of this matter. Oh, Lord, teach us. Teach us how to war. How many times, I wonder, how many times do we come up short of the glory that God wants to get out of our life because we don't understand how to fight the battle? We don't understand how to war. Lord, help us to know how to war. The perfect opportunity comes. But in the time that this person can be touched, the Lord calls on me, Marty, I got something for you to do, but it's going to cost you. I want to show the glory of God through your life. And I draw back. I draw back. I love the Lord. I want to live for the Lord. I want God's kingdom to grow. I want the glory of God to be shown in the world. But I draw back in my weakness. I don't know how to war, Lord. I don't have the faith for that. Whatever, Lord, teach our hands how to war. That he might be able to get the glory out of our lives. Don't be sidetracked tonight. We need to tear some things up. There's some things we need to get a hold of the enemies and break them down in our own lives. Lord, let me get my hands on that. And by your power and strength, let's bend that thing till it can never fire another arrow again. Lord, help me to get that thing done in my life. It's going to take a divine power in our lives to do it. Lord, help me to do it. Oh, I appreciated a statement in Brother Donnie's message the other night because it hit right where we're at. And it's so often I say this. I want to be spiritual. And so spirituality becomes what you think I am. And so often, if I'm a preacher, I'm spiritual. If I can work in a certain, I'm spiritual. Why don't you try loving those around you first and see how we start, and start from there and see how it works. Why don't we start with really what the Lord wants in our hearts first? Teach us how to war. How can I truly give anything to the world that I don't have myself? How can we convince anybody of anything if I don't have it myself? Lord, help me to conquer me first. Help me to conquer me. Help me to learn how to love my family, my wife, my family. Help me to learn how to love the congregation around. Help me when I face the things of life. Help me to be a calm, a gentle person, not flaring off at stuff. Help me to learn how to battle, how to fight the thing, that I might be able to show the glory of God. Lord, teach our hands, 2016, teach our hands to war. We got to face a whole world of all kind of things. Alternative lifestyle is coming. It is being pushed very, very hard. How are we going to face that? There will be many so-called Christian people that's going to face it with bullets. They're going to face it with carnality. But how is we, the saints of God, going to face this? The banner over us is love. If we don't have that first, we don't have anything. Let's get it. Let's have that first. And we might take our banner into that. And do you know we can win respect just like Daniel did? They may say the word, this is what we want, all this, but you are. You know what? It's not always that way. But I'm going to tell you, it's happened in Daniel's day. How did the three Hebrew children war their war? But did people look and say they're stubborn? Yes, no doubt. Just a bunch of stubborn, hard-headed Jews that won't follow along. We'll take care of them. But what was the end of it? They warred. They fought. God taught them how to fight. And he taught them incrementally. They learned before the big war come. And they was willing to be faithful. And they was faithful. And they was faithful. And now come the big battle. And the Lord called on them. I want to call on you so I can write it for the generations. I want to tell a story through you of how to war. They wasn't disrespectful to the king, but they were straight. We're not doing what you're saying because we got a king above kings. We got somebody that's above that. But what happened? The end of it was Nebuchadnezzar says everybody worships the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. God was lifted up and the war was won. How often do we lose the battles? Because we don't know how to fight them. We need to know in 2016 how to fight this oncoming generations with so much wickedness and so much of this, but we've got a way of doing it if we don't miss the mark, if we don't miss what it's really, really about. And so often we can miss what it's about. Lord, help us. We'll look at another scripture tying it in. It's very familiar scripture. 1 Peter. Let's see, 1 Peter 5, I think it is. And about 8. It says, be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You know, I've heard this story that these lions, when they get out to seek their prey will roar. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you're just lollygagging around, you've got nothing else on your mind, and you're just out around, and all of a sudden, somewhere close, there comes a roar of a lion, you're going to jump, and you're going to take off. And I'm afraid that's what the devil does to us many times. He catches us in that place, and he roars, and we jump. We ought to be sober and vigilant and quit jumping when we know he's going to roar. And when he roars, don't let him run us into something in a panic. Oh, we got to do something. We got to go. Oh, here comes the devil. Here comes the problems. Here comes this. We got to do something. Just be faithful to God. Be sober. Be vigilant. Watch carefully. Be aware. And then I can just imagine, instead of jumping, whoa, I've got to get out of here, I can imagine this. Yeah, there's the roar. We know right where he's at. Know right where he's at. What's he trying to do? He's trying to put fear in us. Trying to scare us. We've got the best thing the world ever had, and he's trying to scare us into not even proclaiming it. Well, you can't say that. Brother Marty, don't speak against that alternative. They'll come and throw you in jail. Don't you talk about that. Or they'll do this or that. Roar, roar, roar. Roaring, roaring, roaring. God's big enough to keep us in this life. But how do I keep it? How do I want to know, honestly. Lord, teach me to war. Teach my hands. How do I keep it? How do I do it? I do it firmly. I do it in the gospel. I do it humbly. As a servant of God. And God proves the rest. God proves the rest. You know, it's not outcome based. Many of saints of old got flamed up. I mean, got burned up. They got pulled. They done that. They got victory in a lot of different ways. But they brought glory to God. It's better to lose your life than your faith. And God chose many different ways, but they counted it victory. They counted it victory all the way. I'm going to tell you something that is a problem. It's when we get off of the idea that this is that we got a reward in heaven, and that's going to be the final end of us all. And that's what I'm going to push for. When I get beyond that and start putting my ideas that I'm going to live here and I'm going to be successful here and I'm going to do this, and when I start putting it there, folks, I'm going to tell you, we miss the mark on this. And we get it wrong on this, because then we draw back from things we shouldn't draw back from. Our goal is to make heaven through the will of God. And God knows how to get us there if we turn our life over to Him. I say, teach my hands, Lord, how to war. Give me strength to break the bows of the enemy. Help me to be overcome that in the way you would have us to here. Because I don't know, so I get sidetracked. Lord, help me. Help me to be able to do it. Be vigilant. Be sober. Two agents, because. He says, do this. Because the enemy, your adversary. If you're not sober and vigilant, you're going to jump. He's going to move you. I think Jesus said in one place that the prince of this world cometh. And he find nothing in me. He could touch it, but he couldn't move it. He could roar, but Jesus wouldn't jump. You can't move me out of here. I want to say, Lord, help us to be that way. Help us not to be changing what don't need to be changed. Help us to have faith that God's with us and is going to take us on through this. And help us to be humble servants of God. Help us in this time that we live in. Another story of World War II. Early in the war, there was a battle for North Africa. North Africa was nothing but desert. There was a few towns, cities across there, but it was basically worthless desert. But it had a great strategic purpose. And so they was battling across North Africa. And there come a time that the great German general, Rommel, who was called the Desert Fox for a reason. He was a great military mind. He was a great tactician. He was a daring field marshal, and they feared him. And there come a time that he was being pressed. The war was raging around. The battle went back several times. Rommel has the initiative, but he's weakened, and the British had much more than he did, much more in materials, much more. They just didn't have much as much savvy and all that, and he's waiting, he's wanting to attack. And he knew the time has come, this is time to attack. He's getting ready for an offensive, and he gets word. The RAF, coming off of Malta, sunk his gas supplies. Battle over. They cut him off at the supply line. No more battle. The victory won. He couldn't fight. He didn't have the energy. I'm going to tell you something about the devil. In everything that the devil tries to do and is doing, we can cut him off at the supply line, because somewhere along the line, there is an avenue into your heart. Everything that touches us has an avenue into there, some way or another. And what we need to do is cut him at the supply line. If you tried to fight him straight up, and if Rommel would have got gas, he'd have run him over. He was better than they were. But he had to have fuel. And when they dropped the fuel out, I mean, Lord, teach our hands to war. Teach us to know where to come in and cut it off. Cut it out of there. There's things that need to be cut off. I say to you tonight, you want to be a good soldier of the Lord, cut off what needs to be cut off. Cut off the supply line. If you can't handle the internet, I would recommend you find some way to stay away from it. Lord, teach us how to war, how to stay holy. If you can't take it, get rid of those things. Get grace for those things. Cut this thing off at the supply. The devil is roaring. Be sober. Be vigilant. Be watchful. And then we're standing there watching and he roars. No movement. We're not going anywhere. We're not going anywhere. Roaring don't hurt us. What hurts is it jumping and running into something else. I'm going to trust the Lord and I'm not going to run from it. Lord, help us. So often, we lose the battle. Lord, help us. Lord, help me to know how to say this. I've seen it, been burdened over it. I've seen many times our people get an affliction, major affliction. It's going to take them out of here. The Lord, don't do it. And I'm going to tell you something, the Lord can do it. And He has done it, and He's great at it. But He don't always want that. And many times we can get something like that, and then get in our minds that I can latch on to what I want and stubbornly hold on to it and claim that it's faith. And it's not faith to get something that I want and stubbornly hang on to it and call it faith. That is not faith. And how many times it comes off as the last thing that soul does is believe a lie. Lord, help us. God's going to heal me and there's no other answer. Get out of my way and you can't change me no way, no how. Because it's my faith, is it? How many times have I seen? Believe it all the way and go out of this world and everybody's scratching their head. But they believed it. So now I'm going to be honest with you folks. It's failed me to understand how that glorifies God. To believe something that's not true all the way to the end. I cannot get how that glorifies God. But I'll tell you what always glorifies God. When we trust God. And our stands oughtn't be just for this life, folks. If God heals me, I'll take it. But if not, I'm willing to go whatever He wants. And then instead of this argument that ensues many times, I'm telling you, folks, Lord, help us to know how to battle. We're facing a very technological time. We're facing a great advancement in the medical world. Nobody can doubt their abilities and what they're doing that man has learned to do, right? How are we going to face it then in our world? You know, it makes a lot more sense to me to come to that time. And when that one may say to me, I don't know, may say to me, we got the answer for you, bro. We got the answer for you. We can fix that for you. And rather than saying, no, my God's going to heal me and there's no other way about it, and I'll come and prove it to you. Then I go off the scene and die from it. And they're sitting there thinking, the fools. Right. Is it not true? Amen. I'll tell you an answer that's much better. Lord, help us to fight. to be able to say thank you. Thank you for offering it. Thank you for caring. But I'm going to trust in a God, because you know the truth about it is, I've lived all my life to go see him. I'm a straight betwixt too. I want to live to go to heaven. And I may go quicker than you think I will, but I appreciate what you do, but I believe in God enough to think that there's something beyond this world, and I'm willing to put my life up to that. And so thank you for what you... Does it not make more sense to us to do it that way? In this day and time? To be able to... Lord, teach us how to fight this. I got a higher purpose than living here. And if the only victories we win is because we live here, every one of us will fail it. Every one of us. But our testimony is to the world. This isn't all the world has. And all the way down into the 2016... there can still be a people that believe it. I'm not willing to die and just give my life up. I'm willing to give it to my Savior. I'm willing to do whatever He wants me to do. If I live, it's to the glory of God. And if I die, it's to the glory of God. And how often we get sidetracked with those things and we make ourselves fools. It's true. And when there was so much clearer vision, and a way that glorified God, in a way that made people say, do you know that there was more people in the early morning church won by the persecution and death of the saints than those that were healed? Because the church rose up under persecution and was blessed under persecution. They knew how to war. God had taught their hands how to war, and they war, and they broke the back of the enemy. They broke his bows, and the enemy could not touch them. Because they was a people that believed that they had heaven to gain. How can you get me if I believe that? How can you touch me if I believe that? Lord, help us. You know, there's a lot of scriptures in the Bible about war and soldiering. A good soldier doesn't entangle himself in the affairs of his life. The weapons of our warfare are carnal. Put on the whole armor of God. That you might be able to fight this, that you might be able to win these battles. God has, He wants to enlist all of us into this. And if you're tonight and you're not enlisted, you need to be enlisted, because the war is coming and there's going to be a lot of collateral damage. There are going to be a lot of souls lost in it. There's going to be a lot of damage done by the enemy that's coming in. He's destroying homes. He's destroying families. He's destroying relationships. He's a destructive force, and he's coming in to destroy. Back during the first Gulf War, the United States got in against Saddam Hussein. If you remember, there was a part of that that was called shock and awe. Shock and awe had to be that the United States loaded up their Tomahawk missiles from the Missouri. They got their stealth planes. They done all this with their big heavy stuff, the big bombs, the big missiles, the cruise missiles and all that. Then in an instant, here it come. The people over there that was reporting this shook and trembled just to report it. It was an awesome display of military power, blowing up everything here and there. And they tried to, what they was trying to do was discourage the fight out of the people. You know, that plan was used years before that on Job. The same idea. I'm going to tell you, old Job hands had been taught how to war. Old devil brought everything he could at old Job, and they're going to try to make him run. Roared, shock and awed him, done all those things, and old Job sat right there true, saying, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. The Lord taketh away. We're all going to have to die, folks, some way or another at the end of this thing, but Lord, help us to know how. To teach our children, to bring them to know how to deal with this time. We've all struggled with that, haven't we? How much do I put my children out there, and how much do I hold them back? How much up? Do we not do that? Lord, teach our hands to war. Help us to know how to do that. That we might be able to shoot our arrows straight too. That we might be able to hit the enemy where he needs to be hit. That we can understand how to fight this thing in our time. I believe this with all my heart. That God is able to keep us. If he kept the saints true through the Babylonian Empire, that ungodly, adulterous place, he can keep us now. Even more so, folks, we shouldn't just be lingering. We should be gaining ground against him, breaking his bow everywhere we can. Coming into that, I'm going to say this. We should not fear this generation because we got God on our side. And what we're dealing with is the same thing that man has always had. Inside of all these people that are so defiled and so mean and everything, there's a little boy in there. There's a little insecure person that don't know no better about it than you do, about life and all those things. We think, oh, they're evil, they're bad and all that. But somewhere down there, there's still the spark. Lord, help us to know how to get it out of there. Lord, know how to touch it and how to pray that the Lord would be able to move upon our generation. Do you believe that if 500 people got earnest about prayer into one single mind and purpose, you think God would honor that? You think that something might happen if they did? Lord, teach us. Teach us how to war. Lord, help us. I want to look at a scripture in James, very familiar scripture. James 4 and 7. I'm going to say it this way. Most of the time that I've heard this scripture quoted, they only do the last half, so that's what I'm going to do. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, I want to tell you, I've known a good number of people in my life that would grab a hold of that scripture and stick their chest out and kind of walk, all I got to do is resist. Devil, you're resist. And come up with this thing. I remember one time when I was young, I wasn't saved, didn't have no mind to be saved. But I remember some women that claimed they were. They was of a certain religious persuasion that wasn't impressive, okay? And I remember we was all down at the swimming hole, and these two ladies was there, and this big storm's coming up the valley. And lightning is flashing, and the thunder's a booming, and it's quite a fearful thing, and people start to run and get away to get to their cars and all. And these sisters, I say sisters very lightly, these women, they stand up there and throw their hands up in the air and say, I rebuke that storm in the name of Jesus. And they started rebuking that storm. And boy, we ducked our head down. The lightning's flashing in there. I'm going to tell you, no storm obeyed what they was saying. And it come right on. And they had that. And many times people will say, resist that devil. Stand against him. Yeah, right. There's a lot more to that. It says, submit yourself to God. Teach us, Lord, how to war. You're no match for the enemy, and neither am I. I'm going to tell you how that 10,000 volley is going to get you if you don't have something to protect you, and you got to have something of the Lord in this. Submit yourself to the Lord. Lord, help us to learn how. That the battle's not mine, but it's the Lord's. Teach us how to. How many times I'll jump up and know how to deal with the situation. So I'm going to take control of it and I'm going to do it. And the answer lies in submitting self to the Lord. Submit the thing to the Lord. Lord, take this thing that is in our generation now. Help us to know how to stand there. Is it possible for you to overcome these things in your own? Of course it is. Is it possible for you to get the victory in your mind until you can go to these people and present the gospel to them and a loving message and a gentle hand? Sure. If I submit myself to the Lord. Submit yourself to God. Then resist the devil and he will flee from you. It's because you submitted yourself to God and he recognizes that. He has no way of doing that. When the devil comes along, I mentioned the scripture, the prince of this world comes but has nothing in me. I'm going to tell you something. If you come to my house and borrow something that's mine, if I come to get it, don't you be surprised. I got a right to come and get it if you don't bring it back. It's mine. So if you get my stuff, I can come and get it, right? Do you know if you got the devil stuff tonight? Don't be surprised if he ain't there to get it. He'll come and say, that's mine. This is mine. Yes. What are you talking about? You're talking about resist the devil. You're talking about resist the devil. Give me my toys back. When you get my toys back, then you can say, don't go tell and resist the devil when you got my stuff, because I got a right to be here. You know that's the same way spiritually? Oh, resist the devil. The devil's causing me so much trouble, so I can't get the victory, so much stuff. You know how often it is that the person's not submitted to God? Lord, teach us. Oh, over and over, people try to do works for the Lord. Want to do works for the Lord. Lord, put me in there. I want to do works for the Lord. I want to do all these things. And what happens? They don't submit themselves to God. Now, I'm not being critical with anybody, but I guess it could be taken that way. Most will say this. I went on these outreach things before, okay? I'm pausing because I'm trying to say this right. I'm going to sound critical. But I went on these outreach things before, and it be made up half of people that don't have any more mind to winning a soul than anything. And I go and say, goofing off. Here we are going as a representative of the Lord. I want to say my burden, okay? Going as a representative of the Lord. A bunch of young people wrestling and doing this stuff. And I'm saying, I don't even want to be known. Lord, help us. And this and that. And not even caring anymore. We're going on this deal to do that. And we're going to do it. Lord, help us to know how to war. Listen, you don't need to do that. If you're not interested in the Lord, I say get interested in the Lord. But if you're not interested in the Lord, you know missionary. You know outreach. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Lord, help us to know how to war. This isn't a game. This is reality. Lord, teach us how to face 2016. How to make a difference. I'm going to tell you something. This is as precious as it's ever been. There is more that need it now than ever. Teach us how to reach them. Teach us how to respond. Teach us teach us how to trust you. Because there is a great advancement. And I can easily get stuff done. But do I really want to go there? Now, I know there's a controversy, but folks, listen to me for just a little bit. There is a living God. There is a God that cares about our needs, that works more than that. I have to be concerned for more than the body here. I don't know where to tell you and what to do, but I can only tell you, be mindful of it. Teach my hands to war. Teach me to be led of you, Lord, that I'll know where to put this generation and what it's doing. I don't want to be condemning things that the Lord God's allowing. And I don't want to be allowing things God's condemning. I want to be there to be able to say, this is the way. Lord, help us to walk in the way. And all the way in 2016, God is going to prove Himself a very, very faithful God. And we have a great opportunity. If I can share my vision with you, I believe that we're in a very good special time right now. The world is getting rougher and the world's getting sinful more and more all the time. But there's going to be a collection of honest souls that's going to need somewhere to go. And they're going to need to know answers. And we got it. And there's a time right now that we can touch those people's life. I think God wants to use us. Amen. It isn't over until it's over. And it isn't over. But how are we going to do it? How are we going to stand true? How are we going to do it? Are we going to gain more souls? Are we going to let down? No. But to be honest with you, I don't want to do things so hard and so strict that I put people into spiritual bondage. So I need to know how to labor and how to battle this. And to be able to convince people, I'm not in bondage. I am free. I'm free. This is freedom to me. I am as free as I've ever been because I'm doing what I love to do with all my heart. That's what makes it. So I have to get to them the freedom of their hearts too so that they can be free. Understand? Lord, help us. There's a war. It's intensifying. And one of these days it's going to be right over our heads. The shells are going to be landing on us. We need to know how to battle. We need to know what defenses to put up, and we need to know how to offensively take it to the enemy. Where can we get at him and break his bows? Lord, help us tonight. You pray for me.